Amen. 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 Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Familiar passage. Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs. Right there in the book of all, right there in the midst of all the those Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, right in the middle of all that. Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, chapter 3, if you will. I appreciate you being here this morning. All right, am I working? Okay, I was afraid to hit that. If I hit that button twice, it'll be green and it won't have anything. It's the strangest thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. Again, a familiar passage. But I want to look at it here. I don't want to spend a lot of time. I'm going to kind of touch on each one of these in the first 8 verses. But that's more for an example, more for an illustration, if you will, to put in perspective the real point I want you to see this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1 says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep. A time to cast away. A time to rend. And a time to sow. A time to keep silence. And a time to speak. A time to love. And a time to hate. A time of war. And a time of peace." I want to take a few moments here this morning. And this, I hope I can convey the thought I'm looking for here. This is something I feel like a lot of folks do not understand in their Christian life. And it causes emotional turmoil, if you will. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. Let me say that again. There is a season and a time. There's a point in life when it has to happen for to every purpose under the heaven. I think sometimes we misunderstand those things. Let's take a moment and pray, and we'll talk about a balanced life. A balanced life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths. And Lord, sometimes people read the word and take a verse here and take a verse there, and they say there's contradictions. And in this passage here, it almost makes us, there's almost a whole group of what we would almost think would be contradictions to the word of God, contradictions to one another. And yet, Lord, all these things are part of life. Lord, I want you to help me here this morning. I want to be your servant. So, Lord, I surrender to your Holy Spirit, and I'll speak to us. Give us what we need here this morning. I want to be encouragement, instruct, maybe settle some things here in the hearts of our people. We face a new year. And if we're not careful, we'll go have the same struggles and the same turmoil in our heart this year as we had last year. Lord, I pray that you'll give us your wisdom, your understanding. Lord, I give you myself. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Once again, we find ourselves at the commencement of a new year. We're going to go through many of the same things that we went through this year. There will most likely be some good things and most likely be some not so good things. Many of the same occasions will come upon us. Christmas came on December 25th this year. I think it's coming on December 25th again next year. There's things we do every year. We will come in contact with some of the same people this year as last year. Same relatives. Same co-workers, same employers, same employees, same neighbors. We're beginning the new year with the same shortcomings that we are ending up with this year. And we can become frustrated and confused. We hope things are going to be different while we continue to do the same things and react in the same way and see things in the same perspective. We cannot change the world and we cannot dictate what the world throws at us. We can, however, change how we are going to view the world and respond to the world. That's why we sang Dwell in Mule Land. Just viewing here. You know, viewing here, up here where I'm living, I see the world all down here in battle, but where I'm living, it's not trying to be crazy. We're not in some out-of-body experience. I'm saying what he's talking about is I'm living with an eternal perspective on things. Life is not always good. Life is short. Sometimes it's good that life is short. I hate to say that, but sometimes, you know, realize I don't want to be in this old body for the rest of eternity. One of these days, I'll be glad when the Lord calls me home. I'm not ready to go on the next load. But one of these days, we may have to go. And that's okay, too, because there's a time for every purpose under heaven. Personal victory over the world is not in changing the world, but in changing our reaction to the world. There is always going to be sin in the world. We should not do what we can do to change the world for good, but we should do what we can to change the world for good, but we cannot wait for the world to change before we get the victory. The world is in a constant state of flux, and yet there's still a consistency that it's ever changing. On the other hand, there's nothing new under the sun. We learn this in his writings as well. Everything is just a variation of the same old thing. There's no temptation that hath taken you except that which is common to man. I was thinking about this week. I said something to the kids about this. Janet, this is kind of funny. You know that old song, over the river and through the woods, to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh in the white and drifted snow. See, the horse knows the way to take the sleigh. My grandfather courted my grandmother in a horse and buggy. And he used to talk about how at the night it was a full moon and it was time to go home. He would court her by giving the reins a little snap on the back of the horse. He put the reins down. The horse knew how to get home. And so they were, that way he didn't have to worry about it. They were just talking and he didn't have to drive. He was just going home and they were, I don't know what all. But anyway, I just know that but the fact is, what are we doing today? We're trying to find driverless vehicles. My grandfather had one in 1919. There's nothing new under the sun. Same old stuff. Very good. Yeah, amen. Anyway, so the fact is, there's the stuff that we have to mess with in this life has always been here. You say, well, you don't know my circumstances. No, but your circumstances are not much different than everybody else's circumstances. Now, we may bring some things on that we shouldn't bring on. Listen, you're going to walk out in the muck and the mire, now in the mud, in the dark, you're going to hurt yourself. But God's like, listen, when him is no darkness at all. You want to stay in the light, then you need to stay close to the Lord. Do what he asks you to do, you'll stay in the light. There's a lot of things. Listen, you go walking around in the dark, you're going to break a toe on the bedpost. And God says, listen, don't go out walking in the dark. Stay in the light. Read my word. Stay in it. So we have some of that. But the fact is, there are some things in life we cannot change. The fact is, one of these days, there's going to be an obituary that says, Sterling Walsh died. It was a little eerie when I saw my father's obituary in the paper. His name is Sterling Walsh. I'm a junior. There it is. My name's in the paper. Sterling Walsh passed away. I want to talk about a balanced life. It's not only balanced in that God allows both good and bad things to happen to us in order to keep us headed in the right direction. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Both those, listen, he does all those things. But we need to live a balanced life in that we stay steady and keep our balance during the not so good times as well as in the good times. I want to make sure you caught that. You see, God wants to lead us and grow us and develop us into the Christian he wants us to be. The furnace for gold, the finding pot for silver, but God tries the heart. God works on us. Listen, when I am tried and purified, I will come forth as gold. There are times when there's good things happen. There's times when bad things happen. And the fact is, God does that all in his perfect design in a balanced way. Don't fight the balance. But the other perspective on this, when we fight God's balance, God is trying to do things. Sometimes he brings things in our life to train us, to mold us into what we need to do. We fight him, and in fighting, we're going to fall. How do you stay balanced? Knowing that God loves us with an everlasting love. And all things still work together for good to those who love God or are called according to his purpose. Many people allow the times of their lives to throw them off balance. Why are we taken off guard by the negatives of life? There's a time to every purpose under heaven. During the ups and the downs and the twists and the curves of life, we just keep our eyes looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and not be looking back and forth between him and the negatives of the world. We think, well, the negatives happen, then he must have dropped the ball. See, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you say this, a double-minded man is off balance. We can decide, is God good or is he not good? And he's good all the time. Even when the times aren't good. Let me look at verse number 1 here. Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season. And a time to every purpose under heaven. He says, there is an appointed, that word a season means an appointed occasion. There is an appointed occasion for all things, and a time, a duration. It's going to take a certain amount of time, and we're going to have to go through the process. So there is an appointed time when God's going to bring something in our life, and it's going to take a certain time to accomplish the task. Sometimes you say, well, I'm ready to learn my lesson. Well, maybe God says, not yet, because I know in your heart there's this little bit of doubt yet. He says, listen, he says, to every purpose, every pleasure, every desire, every valuable thing, whether it's good in our eyes or not at the moment, there is an appointed time, an appointed duration for every valuable thing under heaven. There's an appointed time and a purpose for everything in life. Sometimes God sees it best to do one thing, and then at another moment, it's best to do something totally different. And all of a sudden we say, what was that? Many think that all times are to be for our convenience or our pleasure. And if a time is not for our pleasure, then it must have been a mistake. God looked away from the wheel there for a second. God says there's a time to every purpose. And God has a purpose for our times. Now, I will say this. There are times that we make our own purpose. And again, we get ourselves into something we shouldn't have gotten into. And then we have consequences we don't like. Now don't turn around and say, well, God wanted me to go through this. No, he allowed you to go through those consequences because you made a decision on your own. Instead of saying, well, I'm going to do what he wants me to do, there's a purpose. I can spare myself a lot of heartache if I would just simply do as he says in his book. God is saying that sometimes better for us in the grand scheme of things to lose rather than win. Better in the grand scheme of things to hurt rather than to be happy. Listen, there is not a one-size-fits-all purpose in life. There's not a one-size-fits-all in the way God deals with us. We're all different. We have four kids, and they are different. We have four grandkids, and they are different. The thing is, when they're that little, they don't know how to cover up who they are. You know what I mean? My oldest one's two and a half. And so they just are. You listen, they are what they are. You know, and they don't know how to, you know, play coy and, you know, and cover all this up. You know, they just are who they are. And, you study children. You can watch human nature. And you see them so totally different. We got these girls, oh my soul. One of them scared to death of dogs, but she's such a sweetheart. Well, I found her over here this morning. She was singing like she was singing a microphone, you know. And then Joanna, she just, you know, and her little hair popping around here, and you know. Now this morning she decided she was going to pout. I don't know why she was going to pout. And then we have Alice, and she's just like a little bulldozer, you know. She just keeps moving until she falls. She cries, she gets up, and she goes again. You know, she always walks like she's drunk. You know, funniest little thing. And then there's Silas. He just sits and takes it all in. You know, very, 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 you know, they're all different. So God does different things in different lives. Do not compare your life to somebody else's life. So, well, mine's good because of this, or theirs is better because of this. God has a purpose. There's a purpose. Hannah, when she was little, if I just looked at her crossways, she'd cry. Now, Esther, I'd say something to her, and she'd just go. And she'd just go, you know, they're just all different. So needless to say, some folks' bottoms were warmed more often than others. God does the same thing. Now, how do we know what time it is? Sometimes we don't. As we trust and obey the Lord will help us understand what his purpose and time is. A lot of times we find out afterwards. Oh, yeah. Ecclesiastes 2:26 says this, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give it to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit." Listen, God deals with us where we are. Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you." You want to figure out what God's doing? Turn in his reproof. Well, I don't know why he does. I don't think this is so bad. It doesn't matter whether you think it's so bad or not. Turn you at his reproof. You give in to him. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So you humble yourself before God, and God will lift you up in due time. He will help you understand. Listen, God's time and God's purpose often do not match ours. We can make all the plans we want and have our life laid out to the minute, but there's a season for everything, even things we do not wish to have in our lives. Chances are we have not made allowances for the inconveniences and the heartaches of life that will come our way. We're surprised when life runs us over. But see, there's a season for everything. Romans 8:28, I already quoted, "God knows, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." God knows that good and not so good things are going to happen to us. But in the long run, they can be all good for us if we love God or call according to His purpose. How we react and weather the different times in our lives is determined by the level of trust we have in the Lord's hand. Now, I'm going to try to make this quick, this little passage here. We're going to go through these. I don't want to spend a lot of time on these because you could apply these things to so many things, but maybe let the Lord kind of speak to you about some things here. But I want you to see some things that we have to go through. Just allow you to remember we all go through these things. Verse number 2 says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Life begins and life ends. It happens to everyone. Hebrews 9:27, as is appointed, a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. We've lost quite a few folks this year. I did more funerals this year than I have in a long time. Now, a lot of them weren't actually church members, but they were family members and relatives of our church members. Some of them were church folks, but not, I had a lot. I was getting, I was, it was got for a while, I was doing one to two a week. God knew this would happen. God knew that those people were going to be gone. However, our lives continue on and God is still working in us. These things happen. You say, well, that's awful cold. No, it's reality. I'll tell you what's cold. We let folks die and go to hell and never tell them about Jesus. That's cold. You tell them about Jesus, it's pretty nice. Listen, we've had a few that maybe, you know, it was late before, I mean, just wasn't long before they passed, but they received Christ. We know where they are. We can rejoice. They don't have to suffer in all the disease and all the mess anymore. They're in glory. What a wonderful thing. There's a time to die, and maybe that was the time to die, and it was a good thing, and now they're in glory. We just have to wait a little while till we get there. They said, we have to see this from the perspective of God, because if you don't, it will throw you off balance, and life will change. I know so many people whose lives have now taken on the identity that I'm the one who left after everybody else died. So and so died, and now it's who I am. I'm the one that's left. Listen, there's nothing wrong with paying proper honor and mourning and so forth. And listen, we ought to do that. But the fact is, your life didn't stop when theirs did. And the fact is, if they were saved, their life just got going. We're the ones still living in the midst of death. We've got to think about this in perspective. Life has a beginning and life has an end. Life is good, but eternal life can be exponentially better. Mortal life needs to come to an end eventually, because how else would eternal life begin? Death is a part of life. We think we would like to be the one to determine the beginning and the end of life, but imagine the weight of making those determinations. God has a purpose. He says in the verses, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. There's time to dig open and put something in and have it grow. And there's sometimes to pull it out by the roots. We like to see growth, but if we do not harvest what we plant, we die. You put taters in, but you got to take taters out. But you got to take taters out before you can put taters in. You know what I'm saying? There's a time to get into business, and there's a time to get out of business. Folks, you know, there's time when you say, well, this, be honest with you, I was very surprised for my dad when it came down to the end of his life, how his perspectives changed on some things. I mean, he was all about money and his antique cars and all these things, and I remember that December, just before he passed away, I guess it's been about 3 years ago now, and he said, I guess there's something more that's more important in life than antique cars in there. And I said, yeah, it is. And all of a sudden, it was like, well, okay, we need to take care and be good stewards of what I have. And he wanted to make sure certain things got done and so forth. And he knew what they were worth and so forth and so on. But the fact is, it came a time he looked at it totally different because he looked at it from an eternal perspective. Verse number 3 says this, there's a time to kill and a time to heal. To kill means to smite with the intent of deadly force. And then there's a time to mend, to cure, to repair. Listen, we must defend our families and our nation, but once the smoke settles, we may need to help heal the wounds. We're not warmongers, but we must protect our people. And if we know where people are that have made serious and blatant threats on our people, well, we need to take them out. We should not roll over and allow them to wipe us out. But on the other hand, we're not here to try to rule the world or be the big brother. I'm just saying, there's things in life. You say, what am I supposed to do? God gives a wisdom if we'll walk with Him. If we will turn to His reproof, His Spirit will open His Word to us. Next one, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time, in other words, a time to scatter, to divide, to disperse, and a time to build up, a time to repair, to set up. There's a time when we need to shut up a business and shut a business down, and times when we seek to build it up. There are times when certain ministries are no longer profitable, and times when we need to be making the most out of what we have. You just don't know. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. You hear, there's a time to weep, to bemoan, to bewail, to lament. And there's a time to be merry, to play, and to sport a little bit, to rejoice. Some people think that Christians should never show emotion, as if emotion's not spiritual. God made emotions. Jesus had emotion. Jesus wept. Some people think it's wrong to cry at funerals as if you're simply weak and spiritually weak. Jesus wept. We have a loss that we don't cry. That kind of means we didn't value what we lost. It's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. We all listen. He that sows with tears shall reap in joy. We ought to mourn over folks. Listen. Some think it's wrong to laugh and rejoice in church because it's irreverent. Bible says laughter is like a good medicine. You know, the word rejoice is in the Bible 192 times. Rejoicing 28 times. Rejoiceth 18 times. Rejoiced 47 times. Praise 248. I mean, listen, there's a lot in the Bible. We ought to do that. But on the other hand, if all we ever do is laugh and joke in church and never deal with the reality of sin and mourn over it, we haven't done right either. We need to preach the word, instant in season, out of season. Watch, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. There's a time for all those things in life. If we realize, we get so caught up in the moment, we forget that this moment is just simply a moment in time to prepare for eternity. And the fact is, we ought to go ahead and start living in the perspective of eternity. Don't make your decision as if this is all we have. Invest what we have in eternity. It's a whole different way of looking at it. The Bible says there's a time to mourn. It means to tear the hair out, to beat the breast, and a time to dance. In other words, there's a time to weep over the lost condition of our people. Mourn over sin. Prophets use sackcloth and ashes. Yet David danced at the coming of the Ark of the Covenant of Jerusalem. By the way, I'm not talking about what we call liturgical dance where the gals walk around in their leotards and do their stretches in front of you. I'm sorry. We don't need to do that. Most guys aren't looking at the beauty of the movement. I'm just telling you. But what is it? What is it? What did he dance? Well, he wasn't. That wasn't what David was doing down the road. Get on down the road, get on down. No, he wasn't doing that. I'll tell you what he was doing. He was jumping for joy. He could hardly stand still. It was like a little kid who just told they're going to Disneyland. Yes! That's what we're doing. That's what he was doing. He was saying, I'm glad. This is great. Can't stand still because the joy of the Lord was in. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a time. Listen, there's a time it's okay to say amen in church. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Tell them, preacher. There's a time for that. Well, we ought to be quiet. We're in God's house. Well, I don't know about you. This is God's house. God's house goes with me when I leave. This is where a whole bunch of God's houses happen to meet at one time. It's time in the morning, there's a time to dance, there's a time to cast away stones, the things that you build with. Then there's times to gather stones together and build. Sometimes we need to cut bait and move on. Sometimes we need to gather all the resources, rise up and build. There was a time when God said the best thing that could ever happen to the people of Israel is to level Jerusalem in captivity. And 70 years later, it says, now we're going to build it back up. That was a waste of time. Got to take all those stones. He said, not one stone. You know, Jesus said, not one stone was going to be upon the other. And then in AD 70, it was seized again and knocked flat. There's times when we build up, there's times we got to knock it down. Because unless we knock it down, we're not going to get our attention so we can build it back up. There's a time to embrace, clasp the hand. There's a time to refrain from embracing, to withdraw. There are times we should join forces and times we should keep our distance. Some people think that Christians should love, and they should, but thus they should hook up with just about anything that calls itself a Christian that comes down the road, even if it means getting unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm sorry, that's not right. Sometimes we just need to keep our distance, even if it's only so we can observe and try the spirits for a while. There are times we to make relationships and times we need to separate. There's a time to get, to search out, to strive after, and there's time to lose, to wander away, to lose himself from it. There's time we should set out to get the most we can. Other times we just need to put ourselves on the altar and surrender to the situation. Lose it all for him. There's a time to keep, to protect, to hedge around. And there's a time to throw away, to cast away. There's times we need to keep things for use at a later date. And sometimes it says, listen, this is just something. It's a weight that's holding us down. There's a time to rend, to tear up. There's a time to sow. Sometimes we have to cut up before we can sow. Sometimes we have to make things look worse before they can make things better. Sometimes you've got to do surgery before we can heal. There's a time to keep silence, to hush. And there's a time to speak, to put your words in order and give an answer. Sometimes in Proverbs 17, it says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted for wise. He that shutteth his lip is esteemeth a man of understanding. You know? Some people keep their mouth, you know, and everybody says, well, you know, the boy, they're smart. And then they open their mouth, you know. You say, well, you think I'm dumb because I don't say anything. Well, then we open our mouth and dispel all doubt. But sometimes we've got to shout aloud and spare not. There's a time to love, and there's a time to hate. That means to count as an enemy. Now, we're supposed to love our enemies. When it says hate, it doesn't mean to hurt them. It means to count them as an enemy. In other words, to say, I need to deal with this as something that could hurt me. Doesn't mean you hate them. Don't mean you're vicious. But it does mean you look at them for what they are, or what you think they are, and be careful. There's a time to war, to gauge in battle, and there's a time for peace. Now, there are times that we're going to be able to enjoy peace, and there's times when we're going to have to surrender our peace and handle the situation. Now, let me give you some application here. Life can be confusing. We may ask, well, what is it time for us to be doing? Life can bring much turmoil. Many people live on an emotional roller coaster. Their emotions ride the times. The thing is, there's a time for peace and there's a time for war. There's a time to love, there's a time to hate. There's a time to cast things away, and there's time to gather things back all together. There's a time to build, a time to destroy what you've built, to break it down. And we ride these times right with them, like on a roller coaster. There's a time and a season for everything, and that means there are going to be hills, and there's going to be valleys. There's going to be turns, and there's going to be twists in the roads of our lives. All kinds of things are going to enter our lives. Why? Because there's a season and a purpose to every time. A time to every purpose. It's all going to happen. Sometimes we're shooting for the stars, and sometimes we're doing a nosedive with no apparent way to pull out. We're jerked to the left and then jerked to the right. And most often we do not know when they are coming upon us. You're just going along in life, and all of a sudden you pick up the phone and boom, the roller coaster takes a turn you never even thought was coming. Didn't see it. All of a sudden the bottom drops out and away you go. It gets the best of us. You know why? Because we had other plans. Our emotions are tossed around with the circumstances. You ever been in one of those, one of those theaters, IMAX, what do you call them? IMAX, and they give you all the stuff, you know, and they got it all going, you know, and you got this surround thing, and my dad hated those. He'd get sick. He'd get motion sickness because it was moving and his seat wasn't. You know, there it goes. And it was like he was fighting it because his mind was going another direction and the body wasn't going. And so it just jerked him around. It would be awful. And, you know, we do that same thing in life. We've made a plan and we say, well, I'm going this way. And we've already got it determined. God's not going to make any difference in my life. The fact we're going this way and God all of a sudden jerks us around and says, this is what life is right now. You get one phone call from the doctor. Pick up a phone in the middle of the night and someone calls. And all of a sudden life has changed as we know it. But nothing has changed in God's perspective. He knew it all the time. And He never leaves us nor forsakes us. There's a season. There's an appointed time. And then there is a time, a duration in which God's going to do His work. We are on an emotional roller coaster, being jerked around, pushed and dropped, and we are about to lose our lunch. And many of these emotional roller coasters are of our own making. We've set a course of life in our own minds, and anything that changes our preset course seems to be a problem. And life does not usually go right along with our plan. Why? Because there's a time and a season for all things. Life, like marriage vows, are not multiple choice. We promise for better and for worse, richer for poorer, sickness and in health. You don't say, well, I'll take better. And health and riches. Thank you very much. It doesn't work that way. Why do we promise these things? Because there's going to be a time and a season for everything before this life is over. And she needs to know that this fella is going to stick with her through all the seasons and the times. That's why we have that. Listen, the Lord has given His promise. He will see us through all the seasons and the time. So people live on an emotional roller coaster. Let me give you a second point. These times are not to be set at our discretion. Somehow we think we are at the center of the universe. The Lord runs the world, and the Lord said, get yourself ready because there's a time and a season for everything. Don't be surprised when anything shows up. The Lord allows many things to come into our lives. The Lord is concerned that our lives are, watch, is a mixture of pleasantries and not so pleasant times. The Lord knows that if all we ever have in life are the good times, we will tend to forget Him and stop obeying Him. On the other hand, we can avoid many of the bad times. We will determine not to forget the Lord. We continue to go to church, learn His word and grow, continue to love the Lord, obey His commands, to continue to fear the Lord, to continue to tithe, trust the Lord for His promises. Just keep doing what He tells us to do. Listen, we get upset when the world doesn't listen to us, and we throw a tantrum when God doesn't follow our plan. We end up with emotional whiplash when we are bracing to go one way and God takes us the other way, and then we blame God for our emotional issues. If we were not so hard-headed and stiff-necked and determined to go our own way and set in our own course, we would not have injured ourselves when God put a turn in the road. You ever been riding with somebody and you thought you were going to make a right turn and they make a left? You know, it just kind of throws you off balance there for a little bit. Listen, we need to relax and enjoy the ride because we never know where the Lord is going to take us. But if the Lord is taking us, it is going to be in the right road at the right time, in the right direction, and most likely very interesting. You never know what God's going to do. We need to do as God says, and God will do it in due season. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Sometimes the Lord has to put us on the other side of the fence to teach us that the grass is not always greener on that side. Sometimes God puts us on the other side of the fence to teach us to appreciate the side we were on. One thing we can expect to happen in 2018 is the unexpected. Number three, having to go through something unpleasant does not mean we have failed or God has failed. Now, sin is always wrong, and there's consequences of sin. But unpleasant things are not necessarily the results of sin. Psalm 119 says several verses, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Thou hast dealt with me with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Number four, don't ride the emotional roller coaster. Ready for this? Ride the tram.
What's the tram?
What? I'm serious. Ride the tram. The one that, you know, the one that kind of goes around up. It's up high. The monorail. You know what I'm saying? See, you ride it. The roller coaster is interesting, but you can only do that so long. You know, people like a little drama in their life. Some people bring drama in their life because they think that's their experience in life. I don't need drama to experience life. I want the joy of the Lord to experience life. Be honest with you. I really do. But anyway, they feel like, well, I'm never going to have that, so I want to feel life, so I'm going to go the other direction and put drama in my life. Well, that's okay. By the way, I'm not against roller coasters. I'm not preaching against roller coasters. You know, I've been on a good, you know, the loop and all those things, you know. But anyway, the tram ride is a little different. You see, the tram ride may not be as exciting, but it's constant and sure. The tram may take some curves, but basically it's slow and steady. The tram ride is not an emotional roller coaster. You know, Dad, we got to ride the tram. Mom, I went. Listen, the roller coaster jerks you around and up and down. But the tram ride, watch it, sees things from above. The tram ride sees things from the sky view. The tram ride sees things for what they really are. The tram ride is life in life is seeing life from God's perspective. You ever ride that thing and all of a sudden it comes up on the cowboy section of the amusement park and you come in from behind, you see that all those things are just propped up with two-by-fours? They're just little facades. It looks, you know, it's kind of funny when you're looking at it from down there, you know, on the ground. But from the tram ride, you can see that it's all just a bunch of stuff. The shootout, they had an okay corral. There was no real bullets going around. And the guys got in, you know, and then once they went back in the door, they're standing behind a thing, they're drinking a Coke. You know, I mean, the tram ride sees things for the life like it really is. A tram ride sees the end from the beginning. The tram ride sees behind the scenes and the things are not as scary. The Word of God is our tram ride. The Word of God allows us to see the end from the beginning. It allows us to see the mind of Him who is directing our paths. We may not be able to trace His hand, but watch, we can trust His heart. You don't have to live on emotional roller coasters. Well, what if everything, well, the worst thing that happens, I die and I go to heaven. Now, fact is, I'd like to stick around and see what these kids do, you know, they grow up. I really would. When my dad died, Hannah thought pretty sure that she was pregnant with his first great-grandchild. And he was fully coherent, and we were talking, and he struggled in her heart. Do I tell him he's got another grandchild coming or a great-grandchild coming, or do I not? She decided not to. Didn't know for sure, but, it, you know. But he was ready to get on the ride and go on home. And we didn't want to, I'll be honest, we didn't want him thinking about what he was going to miss out. But you know what? He wouldn't come back for a moment now. I'll guarantee you. Let me give you number five. It's getting late, I know. We can glory in our tribulations rather than being fearful. We can glory in our tribulations rather than being fearful. We do not have to take experience, we don't have to experience tribulations as part of an emotional roller coaster in that it takes us by surprise and jerks our lives around. We should not be surprised when tribulations come. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, because the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, tribulations come because there's a time and a season for all things, and apparently, that time is now. So why are we doing this now? Well, apparently this is the time. God hasn't fallen off the throne. God hasn't died. God didn't slip up. Apparently now's the time. And one of these days, when we stay with Him, we're going to look back and say, did you see what God did? We got blindsided. Thought the whole world was like the bottom dropped out, and we went and we hit the ground. And then we stick with Him. And stuck by, there's a time, there's a season, but then there's a duration. Boy, that duration can be long. But God's doing the work. After ye have suffered a while, establishes, strengthens you. God has not left us to be destroyed, but He's setting us up for a victory to delight in. Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Oh, it's time to go. How do we live a balanced life as opposed to an unbalanced life? When you find yourself on a roller coaster, hold the Lord's hand. You ever get on one of those and hold hands? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hold the Lord's hand. Stop looking at the possible dangers and keep your eyes on the provision of the Lord. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So when you're on a roller coaster of life, hold the Lord's hand. Keep looking at the Jesus. Just keep looking to Jesus. Don't try to jump back and forth from the roller coaster to the tram ride. That's dangerous. You can hurt yourself that way. He that jumps back and forth is double-minded, and a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A vacillating man will never feel stable and settled in life, which means very little, if any, peace. And be humble before God. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. The world's going to throw all kinds of times at us. How do we handle these? Live in the Word of God. There's a time for everything. There's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Who knows what's coming around the bend? God knows. Don't ride the emotional roller coaster as you're jerked from place to place. Live in the tram of peace and wisdom and knowledge as you see things from the Lord's perspective. Life just isn't as scary that way. Balanced. If you allow yourself to go back and forth, you'll be unbalanced. Unstable. And actually, I'll tell you, there's a lot of folks who've ended up in the psych ward. And I think they were really seeing things for what they really were, but didn't know how to handle them. A lot of us just kind of play, pretend we don't see the mess of the world, and that's how we handle it. We live in denial. The world's scary, but the Lord's good. Father, it's been long, we were a long time here this morning. I'm sorry, but Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. Give us a wisdom and a perspective to face 2018 in your wisdom and in your understanding. May we see things from your perspective.